This morning we want to remind everyone it is now time to mute all of your electronic devices, your iPhones, your iPads, and your iTablets or whatever they're called. Mute them so that we can serve the true I Am. This morning, it's good to see everybody out. And I noticed that JR just brought Sister Davis a very special moment there a minute ago. Amen. Good to see you, JR, and you surprised her, I see. Amen. Today, we'd like to wish all the mothers a very special happy Mother's Day. This is called Mother's Day, but we know it to be the Lord's Day. And that's what we share our message on this morning, on the Lord. And mothers shouldn't have just one day. Mothers should have all days. For without mothers, where would we be? This morning, we want to take a moment as we prepare to get ready to go to God in prayer. Let us bow our heads and go to God in prayer. O righteous God, which art in heaven, blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your will and blessed are your ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us to not only to wake up, but also to get up this morning and make our way to your house. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray on behalf of the leaders of this congregation as well as the members, but in particular, the leaders and their families, the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families, and all those that shall come from this point on as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us a bright, sun-filled morning. And we pray that this day might be a good day, and if, as long as we're above ground, it is should be a good day for us all. Thank you, O Lord, as we are approaching the hour that it has come to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that you give us guidance and allow us to do the things that we do toward you, Lord, that they might be found decent and in order in thy sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for those who are here this morning, and we pray for the sick and the shut in, especially those who are members of the household of faith in this location. We pray that they might be able to come to be with us at another time, O Lord. We pray that your healing will touch them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. And Father, when we have made our last step of the way and we want to look back and thank you, Father, for everything, especially your son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, we thank you, O Lord. We thank you that when that time is near, Lord, that we might find a home with thee in your kingdom of heaven with thee. Thank you for everything, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we continue to pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and the verse starts at verse number 8. Starts at verse number 1 and goes through number 8. We're going to talk about love never fails. And I know what you're saying. He's going to talk about love again. Well, yes, he is. What better time to speak again on love than today? For today is the day all about love, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And secondly, the love that's we spread over our mothers today. It wasn't so long ago that many of us might remember the love of our own mothers. And today many still have their mothers of whom they can tell and express their love to. Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5 and verse number 22. If the Spirit is to dwell in us, there must be love. God's Spirit sheds it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us according to Romans 5 and verse number 5. Let us look today at this another message on love. Love is greater than eloquence of speech. What does it do? What good does it do for a man to have a mastery of his language if he does not have love? In the text, the first verse of the text reads, "Though I speak of with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." That word charity means love. So he's saying, what good does it do, though I have all these tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass. What good does it do for one who speaks a lot of 25 cents words that means nothing to a person who has a 5 cents vocabulary? Love is greater than knowledge. What good is a person's knowledge if he or she does not have enough love to teach and to help others? Love must have the preeminence in knowledge. Knowledge is wonderful when it is used with love. What good does it do for me if I can quote all of the scriptures in the Bible in their original language of Greek and Hebrew, but then not able to pass the knowledge on to the church and others? What does it mean what does it mean if out of love I cannot explain it to us? When a mother feeds her children and nurtures them with love and care, that's a lesson for them to learn in how to raise their own children one day. Preeminence is used in relationship to the church in Colossians verses 1 and number 18. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." In other words, that Christ might be first. Christ put his love on the line for us as well as his body. Love means a mother may have to forego eating for herself so that her children may have food to eat. Do we not owe Christ the gratitude of our love and our dear mothers as well? I believe that when we look at this day that the Lord has made for us and has given us, we first of all want to be thankful to the Lord for all that he has done for us. And then secondly, don't forget your mothers. Love will also make us better. Love is long-suffering, patient, and merciful. Lastly, but not least, it is kind. Look at verse number 4 of our text. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It makes us better because many of us are not kind to one another. We don't have the patience we need to have with others. Long suffering turns the proverbial other cheek. According to Proverbs 15 in verse number 1, a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Have you ever ran across someone who always seemed to have that old proverbial chip on their shoulder with the attitude of daring anyone to knock it off? That's puffed up. But when love is allowed in the picture, everything will change. It presents a whole new set of options. Love changed the world in John 3 and verse number 16. God loved us so he gave his only begotten Son, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, Christ saved our life because of love. When love enters the picture, you know what that does for me? I become a better person than I used to be. I don't act like I once did. I'll have more patience with others, including my spouse, my children, and all I come in contact with. Have you ever met someone who seems to have a great attitude all the time? Smiling and just happy and happy-go-lucky? Most of us would say that person is crazy. Person just walking around smiling all the time. What's wrong with him? Well, see, you don't have that love in your heart to recognize that that's a good thing. You know, it's good when you look for look to spread love rather than look to spread trouble. Love is a good thing. Love makes a person to see things differently. Love is a life-changing attitude, one in which the children of God need to have toward one another. In John 14 and 21, Jesus said, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love and will manifest myself to him." What better way, what more do you need than to have Jesus love you and the Father love you? Love presents the opportunity to do good to all men. This was quoted in Bible class, but I'll quote it again. "But especially to them that are of the household of faith." Brother Jackson, thank you. Galatians 6 and verse number 10. We are to treat all with love, but we need to especially love the brethren who are believers in the Lord. Love means I don't get angry when you don't agree with me and my ideas. Look at verse number 5 of our text. Look what it says. "Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil." Now, some folk like to think evil of everybody, don't they, church? They think that they can see all everybody else's fault, but they can't see their own faults. You know the kind of person I'm talking about, who never smiles at anybody and never has anything good to say about anybody, just always finding fault. "Why didn't they let me do this?" Or, "Why didn't they let me do that instead of letting him or her do that?" Well, endow yourself in love. Endow yourself in love, and then you can get up and do have things appointed to you to do too. Imagine someone who only thinks of evil all of the time. One of the worst things about not having love one for another is that some people always have a suspicious mindset, constantly seeing the worst in others, just watching and waiting for others to fall so that they can say, "I told you he was no good." Notice verse number 6, if you will. "Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth." When there is love, it will cause one to not rejoice in iniquity, but in the truth. How would we feel about someone who never sees the good things but sees only the bad in others? I don't believe that we would seek or think very highly of that person, but we need to still love them just the same, despite their shortcomings, despite their faults. Did not God love us? And we had all kinds of fault. We were at death's door. But God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. God will call them to task on their ways, but the sad part of it is just like he shall call us on our ways. And how will he call you? What shape will you be in? You know, moving day is coming one day. Moving day is coming. One day we shall have to vacate this old house we now live in. We shall have to give up this thing called life. And I got news for you. There's nothing you can do about it, but prepare yourself, because it is definitely coming. Prepare yourself, because once appointed to man to die, but after that, the judgment. So we've got to answer. God can't give us a break on that, because he promised that we were going to die. And you know the person who's always late for everything? I promise you, they won't be late for that. Love is forever. We find that a mother's love is always there for us. Others may leave, but a mother will still be there. How many times have we seen some of our tragic and sad news stories, and where the mother would say things like, I know my baby, and my baby wouldn't do this, or my baby wouldn't be like that. That's not my baby. Mothers will always be there with their love for their children. I speak of the mothers. The mothers I speak of are the mothers who I like to call real mothers. Mothers who will put themselves into the Word of God. Mothers which will understand what the Word of God means for their lives. To show just how lasting love is. Look at verse number 8 of our text. Watch this one very carefully now. Charity or love never faileth. But whether there be prophets, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All of that's gone away, but love will never fail. Love never faileth. Love is permanent. The things that will no longer be, the prophecy shall fail, the tongue shall cease, knowledge will vanish away, but love will still be there. I want you to notice something in verse number 13 of that same. We didn't read that, but I want you to notice verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, love. I can't speak enough on love. I can only tell you that without love, where would we be? Love never faileth. Love will not fail. Love will be around when everything else is already gone. The greatest of all of these things is love. Love is permanent. It shall last even when we are no more. Love shall still be. Love is what we need. It is what the world needs more of. What the world needs is a day of love and love expressions. Let us keep it going each and every day of our lives. Love prompts us to think and speak well of others. Isn't that something? Can you imagine that person that you really dislike? And if you got love, you'll speak something eventually good about him if you just think love. Love is the chief test of Christian discipleship. John 13 and verse number 35. 1 John 13 and 35, if you have love one for another, Christ said, you are my disciples. Without love, all other motives fall short. We love because he first loved us, according to 1 John 4 and verse 19. Well, I wish that the world would practice love a little more. Then we would have a better world to share and to live in. We better learn to love one another, for 1 John 3 and 14 says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That word abideth means continues in death. Don't you want to love everyone today, especially while you still can? Look at the text again. I'm going to go through the whole thing now. Though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and not have charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, think no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then on down to verse number 9, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read the whole chapter. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of all these things is love. You don't get around in this world without love coming your way. You need to have a little love in your heart. You need to have love in your heart for one another. You need to have love of the Lord in you. And I tell you something, church. Without love, there is nothing. Without love, you want all these other things in your life. I don't care how much money you have. Without love, and not the love of money, without love, you have nothing. I don't care how much power you have. Without love, you have nothing. I don't care how much you know. Without love, you have nothing. Without love, you will find it hard to walk a straight path in life, because you'll always be dodging someone or somebody. Without love, you need to practice more love in your heart. You need to practice love, because love is what can make us or break us. Love, as I said earlier, we can become Christ's disciple. We can be a disciple of Christ with love. Love is good for all of us. Love just doesn't work for some of us. Love works for all of us. And I got to explain one thought to you. The kind of love I'm speaking of is love known as agape love. The love of the Christian, of the spiritual realm. Now, I'm not talking about how you love your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and all of that. I'm simply talking about spiritual love. And once you get this spiritual love, you'll see me in a different light. I'll see you in a different light. Because once you display this love, you become a more open person. You become a better person. You become a person who's willing to show me differently. And I'll see you differently. Because that's what love does for us. If Christ hadn't loved us, he wouldn't have went to the cross for us. But he loved us, so he went to the cross. And can't you just see Christ stretched out on the cross right now? And you say to yourself, why, Lord? Because he loved us, that's why. God loved us so that he gave his only begotten son. So think about it for a moment. A lot of people don't have love in their hearts. One of the ways that I know this is because the church would be full if it was so. There wouldn't be any empty seats in the house. As a matter of fact, sometimes love would make us stand outside waiting to get in. You know, when you go to that special event, how you'll wait in line to get the tickets, how you'll wait in line to get inside the auditorium. Can you see if there was just enough love practice, we'd have a line waiting out to get into the church house with love. And you know that old saying that love is a many splendid things. But I'll tell you one thing, we better practice love. And how many more messages on love will I do? I don't know. But I know we need to love one another a little bit more. We need to love each other to make sure that our Christianity is showing love. We need to love. You don't have to tell me I look good, but you have to love me. I didn't say you have to dress up and come in and be a shining example, be the sharpest pencil in the case. But with love, we can overlook many things. And it's good to see all the people that are going to be showing expressions of love to their mother today. And I'm trying to get through so you can beat the other folks to the restaurant, because I know you're going to take your mother out. I'm trying to get through so you can let your expressions of love be known to mom. And if you don't have a mother, you can sit back and have precious memories of your mother, perhaps. And if you do, show a little love, and most of all, make her happy. Because if you got an older mother, I know what she tells you all the time, son, you ought to come to church. If she's the kind of mother that I think she is, she's going to tell you you need to come to church more often. And I'm going to agree with her. If you love your mother, then you ought to love the Lord firstly. But if you love your mother, then you need to obey her wishes and come to church more often. Come to church more often. Spread a little love. That's what we need. Now, as we come to a final thought on this message this morning, I would hope, just hope, that I said a word or two that made somebody think this morning. Think about love. Think about your mother. Think about Christ. Think about Christ first and then your mother secondly. We don't want to get them twisted now. This is the Lord's Day. This is the first thing we must remember. You give your love to the Lord by showing up and by serving Him in spirit and in truth. Then you take your mother out to this nice dinner. Take your mother out, let her enjoy the day. Because you don't remember how many times your mother washed your clothes, how many meals she fixed for you, how many times she got you dressed so you could go to school when you were little. Just think about all those things and shower her with your love today. Now, as we get ready to close, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. If you've already made those steps, now you need to come forward. You need to repent of your past sins. You come forward, ask the church to pray for and with you. Let the Lord know that you wanted to repent, that you repented of this, and ask the church to pray with you and for you. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.